Oh, the dogs, they be a-howling. It's the news. According to me. Good Tuesday morning, May 21st. 7:15 a.m. in the morning time, Eastern Standard Time. And I am here to tell you what I think about the news. And the people who make the news, the people who report the news. I am not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm a guy who sips chai from a cup with cinnamon creamer in it. And I have a backup cup here of sweet tea that's homemade, homebrew. It still has just a touch of apple cider in it. I had just a little bit of that left when I filled my cup up this morning. I have, yes, I do wash my cup once in a while. But sometimes I just put it in the refrigerator and refill it the next day. It's just trying to cut down on the dish usage, the dishwasher usage. Or is it, can't that thing? I don't think this is allowed to be in the dishwasher, but it's beside the point. Okay, let's get on with this. I have, this morning, it's going to be a fairly quick show. I have relatively little time to do the show this morning, so I'm trying to get that and all this stuff done. So I have, it's going to be a long day, probably, the way it looks. I don't even want to look. It's looking at the schedules and things going on. Of course, right now I have dogs barking and whining upstairs. I don't know what's going on with all that. The next few days, I will be gone. Hopefully, there will be a show. I have no idea whether there will be or not. It's the schedule is just a goofy day, and it looks as if I'm about 90% positively sure they're going to, you know, need me to do something today. I'm just not sure. So at this point, we'll see what happens, I guess. I have, there's a whole lot going on with this upcoming election. And I've touched on this just slightly yesterday. I think I actually touched on it a little bit last week as well. And I dug into it a little bit deeper yesterday. But I really think that we need to fully understand and get a grip on how we're being fleeced, first of all. There's this little clip of a gal that I think it was on Brandon Tatum's show. It might have been a short even. This gal was playing, well, no, I think it might have been actually Patrick Bet David. This young lady is talking about how, okay, so she's this young gal in her 20s, early 20s, looks like. She just got out of college probably, or maybe didn't go to college, maybe just in her 20s with this job. It's a full-time job, out on her own now. Discovering life and figuring out what it's all about. She goes out and she gets this job and she's making money. And she looks at her check and she realizes that the government taxed her for her income. She says, I go out and I work hard, and then because that money goes from their hands to my hands, the government takes some of that. And then when I go to purchase something, the money I've already paid tax on, they make me pay tax again to purchase what I'm purchasing. And then the person I give the money to has to pay taxes on it as income, even though they have to pay the people who work for them and pay taxes. See, this is where you don't realize how deep the tax situation is. And frankly, if you look at everything we just throw money at, print money to just blow it, throw it to other countries, just blow it on stupid things. With this government, just the waste that happens. they could completely they could do away with the federal income tax completely. Completely get rid of it. In fact, most states could as well if they just manage their funds well, right, properly. But you could literally get rid of the federal income tax and still fund the government. And this is what people don't understand. We are, what they're doing is they're controlling you. And they're monetizing everything else anyway. The value of you think the value of your dollar, the value of the hour that you work today is going to be worth the same amount of money? That hour that you put, that you traded your life for to get that dollar bill, that dollar bill is going to be worth as much as an hour. Do you think you can turn around 20 years from now and pay somebody an hour to do what you did? No. We're being fleeced from every corner. And people start waking up to this fact. If you really knew, and this is where I think if our public education course, the public education isn't going to tell you this. If we really understood how much we're being taxed and how much we're being controlled by taxes and regulations, there'd be a revolt tomorrow. The problem is you've got a lot of people living on the dole, thinking the government owes them something. And when you say the government, you're talking about the taxpayer. And that's the problem. That's the whole problem with this whole thing. People will trade freedom for security, and they will trade their independence for fat, dumb, and lazy. Just saying. I'm not fat. I might be dumb and lazy. I don't know. That's possible. It is possible. I was recently in a little chat conversation with somebody the other day on YouTube, and I was just watching. I'd watch this thing. I try to catch a video on Volvo. There's this, I think it's Volvo for Life. I think it's the name of the channel. I happen to be a Volvo guy. I drive a Volvo. My wife drives a Volvo. I also have a spare Volvo. I have five cars. One's a truck. Well, I have three cars, a truck, and a Jeep. And I happened to mention something about the Volvos that I have. And I said, I've got a 2012, 2015, and a 2007. And I said something about it on this little comment. And I think the one in the video was a 2012. I've been involved in an accident. Of course, the people survived and the things are built like tanks. And this comment from this kid.
Oh, you've got two cars and I've got none. You should give one to me.
I bet you've got an Xbox and a Sega and whatever else is out there. I don't even know what those are. The latest, greatest thing is. And I have none. You see, you make some choices. And the fact that I'm, you know, in my 60s, I've worked all my life to get where I'm at, to have the kind of experience I have, to be able to be as productive as I am and command the kind of wages that I do. This didn't happen in my 30s, didn't happen in my 40s, or even in my 50s. Well, just at the end of my 50s, beginning of my 50s. Till I was over 50 years old, I really never started to see the actual fruit of my labor, so to speak. But a part of that, I would have seen it 10 years earlier if the government hadn't been taking, you know, a third of my wages all the time. Everybody says, well, everybody wants their slice of the pie. The pie's only so big and you can only, people get take too much of it. No, the pie gets bigger. The pie increases. We increase the size of the pie. And it gets actually less expensive because the competition is greater. Now, there's a guy who runs Under Armour. I guess he's struggling right now. The company's apparently really struggling. And all I saw was the headline. The headline says something to the effect of, I might be able to find it here. Under Armour is collapsing, and the owner has to take the blame. I haven't read the article, and I'm probably not going to. I might. See what happens. But it's one of those things where you get out there and you take risks, and everybody looks at business people like, oh, they just have all this money. They just throw it around. If I had that kind of money, I'd, you know, it's. I was recently approached by someone who was asking for donations. And they said, if you had $1 million, would you give $100,000 away? Well, yeah, I probably would. But not to everybody who asked for it, because it won't take long. And about the first 10 people who come to me are going to have their money, and then there's not going to be anybody left. You see how that works. So that statement can only work for, you know, one time. And my question to him is, well, if you had $100, would you give 10 of it away? And the way he asked the question was, you know, it would be nothing for you to give $100,000. Okay, yeah. Not, you know, today it wouldn't be. Tomorrow, the next day, and the next day, it starts to become an issue. Now, if I'm making $1 million a day, and I'm not just talking about giving out of your abundance. That's not what I'm talking about at all here. I'm trying to lay out a principle that this, we tend to get in, people who ask for money. I know people who have lived all their life on raising support. There are missionaries in the field who I no longer call missionaries anymore. They're out doing other things. They're making money on the side. They're doing things that, and it grieves me to see missionaries, quote, missionaries like that, living in their home country, getting support, as missionaries, and they got all these side income deals going on. Now the mission my question is, what are you giving to? Okay, so you're being supported. You've got these side missions you're doing. There's these side jobs you're doing. Well, how much of that are you giving away? Who are you supporting? And I know we support some missionaries, and I look at their lives. We wouldn't support them. There's one that I think is one guy in particular that I don't. I think he's a snake, but that's the. And if you're listening, it's probably not you, quite frankly. There's other people who show up in my life occasionally. Once a year, they give me a call. Hey, you know, we need to go for, you know, whatever sometime. Hey, you know, we got to get together. I got a question for you. Oh, by the way, can you give, you know, could you are you able to give some support this year? Hey, you know what? No, I can't do that this year because you're acting like my buddy. and you're only my buddy when you want money. And so why don't you drive away in your new Camaro and go try to find, you know, whatever you're going to do with that. Good luck with that. I don't know. There's just a lot of irresponsible people out there. I'm in a mood today. I don't know if anybody's noticed this or not. I'm in a mood. And the mood is basically one of a great deal of frustration. One thing I can't stand, I cannot stand it, is double standards. And I see a lot of that in the world, in my personal life, as well as in politicians in particular, those on the left. And I think that's probably one of the things that frustrate me more than anything else in a particular relationship, you know, whatever relationship you have, whether it's with your siblings, with your coworkers, spouse, whatever it is. When the double standards start to pile up, it really starts to just starts to aggravate me to no end. And I don't know why. I don't know how in the world did I spill all this chai? Do I have a leak in my cup? There's no way I spilled all that. Unbelievable. Well, I have napkins right here. I've got them right here. And I'm going to have to use them, I guess, because was I throwing my cup around? Maybe I was. Maybe I'm in more of a, having more of a, an attitude than I thought. Here, okay, there we go. Well, that was interesting. Sorry to bore you with all that. Apparently, I'm more upset than I thought. I probably should sit on my hands here. I don't know how that got all splashed around here. I was holding my cup, so. I'm not Nancy Pelosi. I don't talk with my hands that much. Speaking of which, I was listening to this speech again. There was more to the speech than I'd heard before. Nancy went to some higher learning institution. And she was talking about she got up and she was talking about, you know, she didn't mention his name, but she was talking about how, you know, this president who was doing all these bad things and insurrection. And of course, when Nancy talks, unfortunately, she cannot get the words out of her mouth that she wants to say, so she tends to try to sign language. She doesn't know not sign language, but her hands go all over the place. Whenever she talks, doesn't matter if she's sitting down, standing up, she's talking, her hands just flail. This happens typically when someone is in a panic and they're trying to communicate and they can't say what they want to say. She lives in that moment all the time. Her hands are all over the place. And they have, what she's doing with her hands has nothing to do with what she's saying. And the problem with this is, it shows something about her that is really quite, it's a huge weakness in a person when they do this. There is no confidence in what they're saying, and it's not just a confidence thing. It is a lack of credibility. It is it goes deeper than just confidence. It is, it's not just not knowing your subject. It is not believing your subject. I deal with this when I do voiceover work. I do voiceover work occasionally. And when I do that kind of thing, I won't take a job that I don't believe in. I just because I know that if I'm trying to portray something, I hear it in my voice. So I have to be very careful about the jobs I choose, because I know that the genre has to be my brand, so to speak, of my voice, what I can do with it. I know that it has to be believable, and I don't. Like for me to be able to do an ad about global warming or the Democrat Party, I can't take it. I can't do it. Now, I'd love to take their money. But, you know, then just give it to the Republicans. give it to somebody else besides them. Tulsi Gabbard was recently on the View. But well, let's get back to this whole thing. This whole story I was telling about the so Nancy's you know, does this whole thing. Well, this guy gets up and just eviscerates her. And at one point, she butts in on his. He's giving a speech at a university. And he's giving the speech, and he's brilliant. And he's talking about this stuff, and she jumps in and starts to interrupt him. He says, I'm sure she would be just as appalled by the state capitol that was overrun for 1 month, where there was an insurrection. They took over the state capitol for a month and wherever it was. Of course, you probably didn't hear about this in the news, but this did actually happen during the George Floyd stuff. They held siege a Capitol building in, I think it was it Oregon, somewhere wherever it was. And she, that's not the same. That's not an equivalent. She jumps in and she starts talking about, that's not an equivalent. Of course, now she was given a microphone for this. It's not the same. Of course, she's waving her arms around as a president who incites an insurrection. So she's saying that the president incited an insurrection. Some more lies. And inflation was at 9% when Biden took office, too. I guess she probably believes that. On and on and on they go with this kind of stuff. Which is why they're losing credibility. And I think there has been a tipping point in this nation. Now, I don't know how many of you were around when Jimmy Carter was president. I was not old enough to vote yet. Not yet, but at the end of his term I was. Or I should say at the election, prior to the end of his term, I was, by one day. And I did vote. Jimmy Carter got in because of a brouhaha, messed up bunch of baloney going on with President Nixon, who was pardoned by Gerald Ford. Gerald Ford ran against Carter, and Carter won. Carter came across as this good old boy, Bible-believing, all this stuff. Turned out to be one of the worst presidents our nation has ever seen. Most people, when you ask them about it today, they think, well, Jimmy Carter was a pretty good president. No, he wasn't. Apparently, your memory is about as short as the tail of a pig. I don't know how you get there. You must not have any memory whatsoever of what happened back then. And it's not just the energy crisis. It wasn't just the fuel shortage, which was obviously a lie. There were milk shortages, meat shortages, nut shortages, sugar shortages. The whole agricultural system was messed up beyond your imagination. It was like we were living in World War II and everything was rationed. Bananas were hard to find. It was absolutely ridiculous. On top of all that, then we got the energy crisis. Gas prices went from 20 cents a gallon to 50 cents a gallon to a dollar. Now, you may think, oh, well, a buck is still a buck a gallon. That's pretty cheap. No, not then it wasn't. Not when you're making $3 an hour. Not back when $10 an hour was a huge sum of money to be making. Now McDonald's is paying 15 in most places to start. We live in a very different time. And this is, again, the value of the dollar, the value of your work day, the value of your work hour. They play with this stuff. They manipulate it. And all the while you think, I'm making more money. No, you're not. You're not making more money. No. You're barely keeping up with what you were making. Because what you can trade that money for, that hour of work for, has changed. Oh, so this is a shotgun rant. That's what I thought. I'm going to call this a shotgun rant. Maybe I should just have these on Tuesday. I just have a special Tuesday, shotgun rant Tuesday. That has a good ring to it. So what we have here is this election coming up at this tipping point that I'm talking about. People were so disgusted by what was going on with Carter. Now I believe, personally, I believe what we have now is about twice as bad, but for very different reasons. Very different things going on in the world and different circumstances and different issues, so to speak. But I truly believe Biden is probably one of the worst presidents we've ever had. I don't know Neville. What was the guy's name? We've had pretty bad presidents in the past. People don't remember how bad they've been. But certainly this guy's better, worse than Carter. Carter was better than this guy. Now, part of it is that just that there wasn't as much to mess up back then as there is now. We're talking globally. And when the president makes decisions, how it affects things globally, it just is very different than what it was back then. And I remember because, you know, I'm a kid. I was a kid. I'm still a kid. So we have, coming into this election, my biggest concern is the powers that be, which would be the administrative state, which includes much of the media, and the people who have power now who are unwilling to let go of that power, thinking it is a threat to our democracy. And this guy doing the speech in front of Nancy Pelosi, one of the things he said is pretty powerful. He said, populism is not a threat to democracy. Populism is democracy. Think about that. The most popular person, you know, we're going to elect the most popular person. Using a democratic process? Yes. And that's populism. Populism's dangerous to democracy. No, it's dangerous to those who are in this weird power position where they think that they're the only ones who are qualified to be in the position they're in. And they don't think anybody else can be there because it's not they're not the master legislators that we are. We have to be a master legislator. Nancy Pelosi, the master legislator. She's a bumbling idiot. So we have these people who are, again, claiming that Donald Trump is the reincarnation of Hitler. He looks at all these other world leaders. I think that, I've said this before, I think that Dan Bongino has nailed this on the head. He basically said that Nancy Pelosi, or that Donald Trump is a transactional person. He's not necessarily an ideologue in any sense of the word. He is transactional. He's all about the transaction. He's all about the deal. And he wants a deal that makes sense, makes everybody happy, and everybody gets the most out of what they can make out of that deal. As well as, you know, just things going right. Now, I think he has kind of woke up in some ways. Woke, he might want to say. To just how manipulative, conniving, and evil, what the kind of, Donald Trump has had to deal with some very crazy people in his life. People who are irrational, off the charts, you know, weird stuff. He's had to deal with those people. And in dealing with those people, he has learned, I'm sure, in his many years of being on this earth, 20 years more than me, almost, how to deal with these people, how to, you know, so I don't think he had any idea how deep and wide the slime pit is And now he knows. He knows what he's getting into this time. Last time, I think he thought he was going to make deals, cut deals, through all the rhetoric, and come out on top as, oh, look at this, we've won. Because he was always talking about winning, how much we're going to be winning all the time. And the Democrats, and the worse than that, the Democrats, was the Rhino Republicans. In fact, I would say some of them aren't even rhinos. They're not even, they're literally fake. This guy named Krebs came up again the other day. What's the guy's first name? He's a cybersecurity guy, was in the Republican Party, supposedly Republican. This guy's not a Republican, by the way. This guy is he's an anarchist. He comes across like, oh, I've worked for Republican administration. Yeah, you're a plant. This guy, he is a deep state operative. And now I even hear his name came up in the midst of this. I think it was Vivek Ramaswamy, I think, was being interviewed, and he was saying something about the 2020 election. Or it was actually Rubio. It was that interview with Rubio. And they mentioned this guy's name. Well, this Republican said that there was no cyber problems in this. Now we're finding out that there's all kinds of problems. It was over 380,000 votes in Georgia went missing. They're trying to do an audit. They're missing. And when you replay the story of what all happened that night in Atlanta with the toilet overflowing, and then we were told a water main broke, and then they pushed out the observers and kept counting votes and pulled out more stuff out from under a table. Now think about that. And I think the reason that Trump called the attorney general and the governor and asked and said, can't you find 11,000 votes somewhere? The country, Georgia was lost by about 11,000 votes. And 380,000 are missing. Now, if you remember, Trump was winning all the way up until about 2 o'clock in the morning. And everybody went to bed. We woke up the next morning, and all of a sudden, those states were blue. This happened in more than one state, by the way. This also happened in Wisconsin and Michigan. And there were a lot of shenanigans in Pennsylvania. And Rubio went on to mention all this stuff about the illegal voter boxes, the ballot harvesting that was going on, all the stuff that was illegal that was going on. And then she mentioned this guy's name, Krebs. And I remember this guy was on a panel, and he was arguing tooth and nail that there were no cyber issues in 2020. No. Vast conspiracy for a whatever it is. What do they call it? They always say there was no evidence of a widespread voter fraud. I would say 380,000 votes is pretty vast, pretty widespread. Now, at the same time, there have been other people who have come out now recently, just within the last month, just this year, that are saying that, yes, there were companies that were in charge of monitoring our election, our electronic voting machines, and they weren't in this country. They were monitoring them from Canada, Europe, and other countries. That's what the report said. Monitoring. How is that possible when these are supposedly not hooked up to the internet, supposedly? There's a whole lot of shenanigans, I want to say, that went on. And I don't doubt that they have a plan in place. Now, my understanding is they are pushing this variant thing, this COVID variant thing again. I saw another report of it today. COVID's coming back. Well, yeah, of course, it's election year. So they're pushing this stuff out there. And if this, you know, like I said, they've got plan A, B, C, D. You know, what is the last plan they have in place here? What are they thinking? I don't think that they are thinking. I think they're acting out of rage. Now, maybe the people who in the higher ups, they believe they can somehow control Donald Trump. And I personally, because Bill Barr came out in support of Donald Trump recently, and I think that tells me that makes me skeptical and it makes me very suspicious. Why would? Because you can kind of come out and now buddy up with the. Now you can kind of show yourself as a conservative. Okay, I'm on the right side now. Because he's popular, so I'm going to be on that side of it. But I know something that you don't know, and that is that he's not going to be on the ballot, or he's not going to be president for long, or whatever it is. That I can come out looking like the good guy. Oh yeah, okay, I'm all for him. Yeah, here I am. See, I'm all for him because, you know, he's not going to be around very long. But that makes me look good, and I'll say, oh, when you know, whatever happens, oh, that was sad. What happened to him? Oh, that's too bad. Okay, next. That's it seems disingenuous to me. That's all I'm saying. Maybe he's completely on the up and up and above board. I just don't think so. These people have their own agenda. And most of it, number one, is to protect their agency. Because they like being in the position of power. But I digress. I've gone way over time, way over much more time than I thought I was going to have here this morning. And I really don't have that much time. So hopefully this all uploads quickly. Otherwise, it won't upload at all because I'll be gone. So, folks, I want to thank you again for listening, for sharing, for being around. I don't know what's going to happen the rest of this week. I have no idea. Theoretically, there will be a show tomorrow. It probably will not be from here. It probably will be from a remote location. So hopefully I'll be able to upload it and do all this. And, you know, I've actually found ways to kind of work around most of those issues. So most likely there will be a show again this week, but I don't know which day. And I'm hoping it's every day, but I can hope in one hand. You know how that goes. So I'm going to leave it at that, folks. I want to thank you for listening. Thanks for being here. God bless, and have a great rest of your day. Take care.